Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from the triune God. Amen. The prophet Isaiah gives voice to the Lord. I have called you by name. You are mine. Now, most of us here have heard something similar when we were confirmed. We hear the words, God has called you by name and made you his own. Confirmation, where we confirm the promises made on our behalf at baptism. It's a bit like saying we complete baptism by making it our own personal choice. I know that's slightly dodgy theology and that baptism is complete in itself, but bear with me for a while. Baptism is about our personal relationship with God, and therefore it's complete, but it's also a journey on the way. It's a bit like my relationship with Paula. You could say it's complete because we're married, but of course it never will be fully completed. Our relationship with God is very similar. It's never complete, even though we are baptized. So I'd like to ask on this feast of the baptism of Christ the question, what is baptism? I could answer it by taking a step backwards, if you like, and first asking, what is a sacrament? What are these symbols and signs that we celebrate in church? So what does it mean when we celebrate communion or mass with the symbols of wine and of bread? What does it mean when we celebrate marriage with the symbol of the exchange of rings and then the holding of hands? What does it mean when we celebrate or we go to someone who's ill and anoint them with oil and the oil smell fills the room? You have that fragrance of lavender hovering in the room. What does all this mean? Well, St. Augustine said of a sacrament that it's the outward and visible sign of an inward and invisible grace. So the bread and the wine in our Mass becomes a sign of the self-giving love of Jesus, the bread representing his body, the wine, of course, representing his blood. The giving of a ring in a wedding represents the giving of ourselves to one another. And if you're wondering about the healing significance of the scented oil at the anointing of those who are ill, well, the whole idea of aromatherapy must have passed you by then. An outward and visible sign of an inward and invisible grace. And just as a quick aside, I'd like to explain something I always do when I'm presiding at Mass here. And it's based on that word for sacrament. In the Greek, it's mysterion. And I always say about when we come to the Creed, let us proclaim the mystery of faith, the mysterion, the sacrament of faith. Because I think when we're using language in the Creed, we're using language in a sacramental way. It's the language of symbol, of poetry, of grace. It's not the everyday language that we use, but it's sacramental language. That's just an aside. Getting back to baptism, the most obvious symbol of baptism, indeed the only symbol which is necessary at the end of the day, is the symbol of water. But it is such a rich symbol. Probably the most obvious symbol of the water, the obvious meaning of that symbol, is that surface washing. You know, we all wash, and the symbol of water in baptism is about washing our past sins, washing those away, the cleansing of sin. But water works on so many different levels. It recalls freedom. Remember, the Israelites walked through the water of the Red Sea, going from slavery in Egypt to freedom in the Promised Land. So it's that symbol of freedom. There's a symbol of new life. We have to water plants to enable them to grow. And before birth, there's that breaking of waters. So water is a symbol of life, new life. But also, it's the symbol of death. The word baptism is about plunging or immersing in water. It is, if you like, that dying to an old way of life. And we see this also in our reading today, with the idea of the chaff being blown away, the chaff, the dust, the husk around the wheat, blown away with a winnowing fork and then burnt, and you're left just with the nourishing wheat. So it's the water is a symbol of death, but also a symbol of life. But then it also becomes a symbol of following Jesus, because Jesus was baptized in the water of the River Jordan. We are baptized ourselves. If we are a follower, a disciple, it's what we do. So water has so many different levels of symbol and meaning all at the same time. I think a sacrament is a bit like a Picasso painting. There are so many different angles jumbled together at once. It is truly a mystery, a mysterion. The other symbol of baptism is that you're given a name. By being given a name, you are claimed by God. I'm sure many of you have been watching Les Mis on the TV, and you might remember that God claims in Les Mis. The priest hands the candlesticks to the fugitive, Jean Valjean, and he says, as he hands those candlesticks over, "Jean Valjean, my brother, you do not belong to evil anymore, you belong to good. I have brought your soul with that silverware, with these candlesticks. You belong to God now." By naming, by being given a Christian name, God is claiming you. And a name, of course, is so much greater than a set of candlesticks. The baptism of Christ, though, also gives a symbol of who Jesus is. We are told who Jesus is on one sense. Yes, as Jesus comes up out of the water, there's the voice from heaven that says, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him," proclaiming the divinity of Jesus, that Jesus is the Son of God. But actually something else is acted out as well, that is not just about the divinity of Jesus. Something else is acted out that says Jesus is the human one. Jesus is in need of baptism, just as we are in need of baptism. And because Jesus was baptized, we humans also need to be baptized. Jesus' favorite self-description of himself, when you go through the New Testament, is not actually the Son of God. He calls himself the Son of Man, the human one. In Hebrew, the Son of Man is Ben Adam. It's a play on Adama, earth, the Hebrew word for earth. Jesus is of the earth, just as we are. Jesus takes on our earthly, mortal nature, something that we recall again in a few weeks' time when Lent starts. You'll have the cross put on your forehead with "Remember you are dust, and to dust you shall return." Remember that dusty, earthy, mortal nature that is yours and Jesus's. So the symbol, the sacrament of the baptism of Jesus, is that Jesus is the human one, if you like, summing up what it means to be human. This Ben Adam, this Son of Man, needs to do the earthy stuff that we need to do. And we, to be truly human, need to follow his example. In the waters of baptism, Jesus affirms his own human nature. In the waters of our baptism, we follow that human one, but also that human one who is also the divine one, the Son of God. We affirm when we are baptized and when we are confirmed, building upon that baptism, we affirm both our human nature and, if you like, the divine spark that is within us. Yes, we may ask for the chaff in our natures to be blown away like that winnowing fork. But in baptism, we will always remain earthy, following the Ben Adam, the Son of Man, the human one, and the Ben Adamah, the Son of the earth. Baptism calls us into solidarity with humankind and with the earth, and in doing so ignites a divine spark within us. John the Baptist said of this coming of Jesus, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. That's about the divine spark being ignited within us.